I also want to greet each one in the name of Jesus this morning. May his grace, mercy, and peace be in our midst here. I appreciated the service this morning and how our hearts were drawn to God, drawn to his goodness, what he has done for us. And what a blessing to know this God in a personal way. A God that cares about each one of us. And may our hearts continue to worship him this morning and honor him for all that he has done for us. We give our lives to him. For a message this morning, I would like to look at an account in the New Testament. It's a very familiar account, one that took place with Jesus and his disciples. It's recorded in three of the Gospels. It's a very simple account and yet very profound, one that has spoken to me. And it's a story about weather, about a boat, about fear, and about faith. But you know, more than that, it's about the story of our life. It's a story of life and what happens to us at times. Yes, it's about what happened with Jesus and his disciples, but it's also what can happen to us at times. This happening takes place on the Sea of Galilee, and it's interesting to see how many of Jesus' teachings, where you see him in his ministry, happened around this sea, the Sea of Galilee. Sounds like a very interesting sea. I have never got to see it myself. Would like to maybe someday, but I know some of you have. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the earth, I am told. 600 to 700 feet below sea level. It's about 13 miles long and approximately 8 miles wide. And at its deepest point is about 140 feet deep. So it is a big sea. It's also known for its sudden and violent storms, simply because of the mountains on each side, the hills. And it's also a lake that several of the disciples spent a lot of their life fishing on, and I suppose they knew a lot of the different corners of the lake and where the good fishing points were. These were men that were very familiar with this lake. But I'd like to think about that a little bit this morning. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Take just a small peek at one of the stories about Jesus and his disciples. In the beginning of the chapter, in verse 1, it talks about Jesus teaching by the seaside. It says, "There were gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them." So this was a day that Jesus spent in teaching a great multitude of people. They were seated on the land. He was in a boat, and he taught them. And it's interesting, I read a little bit, one place it said some of the way that the landscape is right there, one person standing out by the sea can be heard by approximately 7,000 people, just the way the acoustics are right there. But Jesus taught this great multitude that was there. And if we would read the whole chapter there, we'd talk about different parables that he taught them with. But we'll go to verse 35 in Mark chapter 4. And I'd like to read from 35 through verse 41. And then make a few points in this story. Like I mentioned, it's nothing new. I won't be saying anything new this morning, but I trust it can be a way of encouraging each one of us. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them," or to his disciples, "let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We all face storms in life. And here the disciples, Jesus, faced a very real storm. And I'd like to look at just a few of these things here. Number one, they were doing exactly what they were asked to do. If we look at verse 35, Jesus said, Let us pass over unto the other side. The disciples were doing what they were asked. Jesus was with them. He said, Let's go to the other side of the lake. And that's what they were trying to do. If you look in chapter 5, you'll see where they were headed. And that was the land or the country of the Gadarenes. And if you read that story, you hear about the man that was possessed by a devil. And it seemed like it was a very dark place, maybe a place that hadn't heard the gospel before. But it was a place that needed the light of the gospel. And that's where they were headed. And I don't know if that contributed to the storm or not. Those things we don't know at times. We know that the devil tries to bring things into the life of God's children that to try to hinder them. I don't know if that was part of it. But Jesus also has a lesson for each one of us in this passage. You know, sometimes we tend to think that because I'm doing the will of God, I'm doing what He wants me to do, we'll have clear sailing. You know, things will always go right for us. There won't be hindrances in our way, but that's not often the case. That's not always the case. And it wasn't the case for the disciples here. Yes, even though they were going where they were asked to, Jesus was going with them. They had a rough time of it. And really rough. And then it was the disciples, but it also says in verse 36 that there were other ships with him, other little ships. And I wondered sometimes what all went through their minds also as they faced this great storm. But in verse 37, it says there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You know, the disciples, they were seasoned fishermen. They were used to this lake. They were used to having storms come up. But this was a storm that had them panicking. It was a storm different from a lot of the other storms that they saw. This was a storm that was about to sink their boat. A storm that they thought might send them to the bottom of the lake. A storm that was out of control. Have you ever faced a storm that seemed that was about to sink your boat? That a storm that seemed totally out of control? A storm that had us panicking. What are we going to do? What do we do in this situation? Such a storm. You know, we all face different types of storms in life. Some are more severe than others. Some are more difficult than others. Maybe some of you are facing storms right now. You know, there's storms of not knowing where or how our loved ones are faring. Storms of health issues. Storms of seeing loved ones make wrong choices. Storms of regrets. Thinking back of things that I should have done different. Storms of loved ones being taken from us. Loved ones going on before us. Storms of loneliness. Storms of financial hardship. And the list could go on. Different storms that we face in life. They're inevitable. We will face storms in life. And some of these storms are difficult, very difficult. These storms are times when life brings sudden, undesired changes that seem totally out of control. And they really are out of our control. These are storms. Times that when we feel that we're in the middle of a sea and we're sinking and we can't do anything about the situation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that way? Times when there's just, you don't know what to do. Seems it's up over your head. As I said, storms will come. That is part of life. That is part of living here on this earth. These storms that come and shake us. And we wonder, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to go forward? And that's where the disciples were at this point. Their ship was full, it says. I can imagine they were trying to get the water out as fast as they could, and yet they couldn't keep after. Then in verse 38, it says, where was Jesus? It says he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, don't you care that we're sinking? We're about to go down? Jesus, wake up. Why don't you care about me? Do something about the situation. Those thoughts ever come to your mind in the midst of a storm when our world is about to collapse? Cry out to God, and why God? Why aren't you doing something in this situation? Why are you just sleeping? I wondered, you know, how was it that Jesus could sleep in a situation like this? I think you see the humanity of Jesus. He was tired. But I think he was also trusting his heavenly Father. He had a peace in trusting his heavenly Father. Yeah, I think it was also a lesson for the disciples. He wanted them to think about who he is and think about God. But they cried out to him, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that things are buffeting us? Things are taking place around us that are about to send us down. You know, sometimes it seems when we face storms, it seems Jesus is sleeping. Jesus, where are you? Why can't you hear us? You're not answering. Don't you care? Don't you hear? But the answer is still in Jesus. When we face these storms, we must go to Jesus. He does care about us. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We have that promise that if we call upon him, he will answer us. He will also show us great and mighty things that we don't know about. Jesus didn't say he would answer right away. And you know, sometimes in our prayers, it can go a long time before we have an answer. Sometimes we never know exactly what the answer is. But he has promised that he will hear us and will answer. And the way he answers is sometimes far above what our earthly minds can imagine. His ways are still best. And point number four, the power of Jesus. We see that in verse 39. It says, "He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Can you imagine what transpired there? Just the word of Jesus all of a sudden changed everything. A calm, great calm. The waves stopped. The power of Jesus. Jesus had the same power to still the winds here as he did to cast out the demons in the next chapter. Same power to heal those that were diseased. He has that same power today to take care of the storms in our life, to help us through our difficult situations. Jesus' word will always rebuke what is against his will or against his mission. He might not always take away the waves in our life. We wish sometimes that he would, but he doesn't always take away the waves. But he is the one that will bring peace, even when we experience waves. A peace that passeth understanding. A calmness that we can experience, knowing that God is in control. And that's a tremendous blessing. Peace. Peace that only Jesus can give. And then he also asks his disciples a question in verse 40. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And I can only imagine the disciples thinking about that question. Jesus asked them, "Why were you afraid?" Well, they could have said, "Here was a greater storm above what we've ever seen. I mean, this was a storm that was about to send us all into the lake, and possibly to our death. Who wouldn't be afraid of a situation like this?" Those are some of my thoughts. I was thinking, you know, how would I respond in a situation like this? A storm of this magnitude, and Jesus asking me, "Why are you afraid?" And I can only imagine Jesus kindly asking them, "Didn't you know that I was in the boat with you? Didn't you know that I cared about you? Why are you afraid? Don't you think that I have this situation under control?" And this is a question that I've pondered many times. And it makes me realize that I have a lot of growing to do yet in my faith in God, in trusting God in these difficult times. Times when things are out of our control, difficulties that we face, knowing that God is God. He cares about us. As Christians, he's in the boat with us as such. We all deal with fear. That's something that all of us have to deal with. But when fear controls us, we don't have faith. So we could ask the question, what is faith? And we could talk about faith a long time and never get to the end of what all faith means. But sometimes I've thought of faith, you know, as a step out in the dark. It's a step into the unknown sometimes, but it's not necessarily a step in the dark. It's this next step forward with God. And you know, sometimes when our faith is tested, let's go forward, knowing that God is with us. It's not a step in the unknown. It may be the unknown to us, but it's not unknown to God. It's a step forward with God. Faith is believing that God is truly trustworthy. Believing that God is who He said He is. Do we really believe that? We say we do, and we want to. And yet sometimes I wonder in my own life, do I really believe that? By my actions, believe that God is totally trustworthy, that God has everything in control. We face fear at times, and we question at times. But Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we have all read the Bible many times. We all have heard many stories about the Bible. And there's someone has said the Bible is the historical testament of the faithfulness of God. What is one of the greatest conclusions from the Bible? What would you say is one of the greatest conclusions of the Bible? This person says that God can be trusted. From the beginning of Genesis to Revelation, time and time again, God has proven that He can be trusted. He is God. He cares about man. And that should strengthen our faith as we think about God and His trustworthiness. He's proven that. Turn with me to Psalms 121. Just a short psalm that I would like to read. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It's a blessing to know that God that knows all about us and that has promised that He will keep us. Yes, not maybe always the way that we think He should, but He does. He will keep us. He does take care of us. In Matthew 18, the disciples were talking among themselves, and they asked Jesus, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus answers and said, or he got a little child and said, "Unless you be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not see the kingdom of heaven," or something like that. But we must become as a child. We must have a changed heart from looking at ourselves and who we are to looking to our Father. And there's a lot of things we can learn about children. In trusting their parents, trusting others. Children are very teachable. They believe what their parents say. Children in general trust their parents. And Jesus said we must become as little children. We must trust our Father. There's a short story that I'd like to read that gives us a little bit of a picture how we should look at our Heavenly Father. In the days of the sailing vessels, a captain from Liverpool, England, commanded a ship sailing to New York. On one voyage, his family went with him. During the night, when everyone was asleep, a storm arose and struck the vessel, throwing her over on her side. Everything inside the ship tumbled and crashed. The passengers awoke in great fear and in imminent danger. Everyone on board was worried. Many of the passengers sprang from their berths and began to dress so that they might be ready for the worst. The captain's 8-year-old daughter was on board and awoke with the other passengers. "What is the matter?" the frightened child pleaded. They told her that a storm had struck the ship. "Is my father on deck?" she asked. "Yes, your father is on deck." The little girl dropped back on her pillow, and without a fear in the world, in just a few moments was again sleeping soundly in spite of the wind and the waves, because her father was at the wheel. Never forget that our Father is on deck. Whatever the storm of life or the storms of this world may bring, God is in charge. Our Father is on deck. Oh, for such a trust in our Heavenly Father. And He wants us to have faith in Him. Yes, faith does not always eliminate the storms. Faith does not always change the storms, but it changes us. Faith does not always take us around the storm, but through the storm. Faith allows us to see and know that Jesus is there with us. Faith is what allows us to be still, to be peaceful in the midst of storms. It's in times like this that our faith is increased. And I think we all would say that, Lord, increase our faith, like the disciples said. But you know, we recoil at the thought of storms. But that's when our faith is increased. Yes, we don't like to think of storms, of difficulties that we go through. But these things are inevitable in life. And let's use them to have our faith increased. And then in verse 41, we look at the disciples' response. It says, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It was a reverential awe at who Jesus was. Now, this seemed to be maybe towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and the disciples were still getting to know who this Jesus was. And they were, it says, they feared exceedingly. Not that they were afraid, and yet they were awed at the power of God, the power of Jesus. They were awed at the power of this God that could take care of the storm that they were in. You know, our storms may not always end in the exact same way that this storm ended. But we always need to come before God with a reverential awe of who He is, of helping us in these storms. Maybe He takes the storm away. Maybe He helps us through this storm. But it's the same God. It's a God that we have the privilege of entrusting our lives into. And we have nothing to fear if Jesus is in the boat with us. If Jesus is with us, we really have nothing to fear. He cares about us. He knows about us. Our greatest fear should be if we're going without Him. But what a blessing that we have to know God in a personal way. A blessing to know that God knows about the storms that we face, knows about each one of our situations even better than what we know ourselves. It's a God that cares. I'd like to close with just, well, it's four different verses. And there's many, many verses in the Bible that we could look at. But I'd like to look at four that I'd like to read. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I have toward, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." thoughts of peace towards us. That's our God. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's there to lift us up, to hold us up in these difficulties. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's kneel for prayer.